Welcome to the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. I'm Dwayne Windham, your lay leader today. We are an intentionally inclusive congregation, and we welcome persons of all religions, ethnic and racial origins, sexual orientations, political convictions, abilities, and other circumstances. At this time, I'd like to share our affirming mission statement, which is printed in your bulletins and, of course, on our walls. We gather in community to nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice.
It's always fun when preparing a sermon to look up the dictionary definition of your topic. So I went to www.dictionary.com. which gave me some choices from a variety of dictionaries, and I went to the one I found most amusing. Was this one from the World English Dictionary. Ritual, noun. The prescribed or established form of a religious or other ceremony. Number two, stereotyped activity or behavior. My favorite was number three, so psychological. Any repetitive behavior, such as hand washing, performed by a person with a compulsive personality disorder. So with that in mind, I'm happy to be with you this morning performing this compulsive repetitive behavior together. It's worth noting that some in this church don't necessarily qualify what we do here together each Sunday as ritualistic or ceremonial. Yet each aspect of our worship service has a meaning, a context, and a reason why it is performed in the way that it is, and in the manner and order which we perform it are vitally important to us. If you doubt that, I urge you to have a chat with any of the old-timers, such as myself, after the service and the coffee hour, about some of the changes that we've made as a congregation in our worship services over the years. And those who have been here for a while, I encourage you to cast your minds back to the time that we added joys and concerns to the worship service, and also when we removed it later, or our discussions about how, when, and in what manner we would be including children in our worship services. There was a little bit of discussion about all of those things. So I do believe that vitally important is not too strong a phrase. Rituals can be seen in terms of a structure or a template. And there is something repetitive in the nature of ritual, but it is the way that we conceptualize ritual that is important. So let me share an experience I had about that many years ago. There was a period during my teens while I was still attending church, but really no longer felt a connection to the faith of my childhood. During that time, I had an experience worth sharing. I was sort of numbly going through another morning in church when the communion plate was passed around. And this sort of woke me from that semi-somnolistic state because I knew my freedom was near at hand. I remember the tart taste of the grapefruit juice, and I remember also the sort of mealy taste of the little wafer squares. But on that nameless morning, I saw something that changed me. I noticed that one of my fellow congregants, who was sitting in the pew just in front of me, took one of those little squares. And something changed dramatically in her face. I watched as the tray continued to be passed around. And I saw this happen to another person. And then another. I saw these faces, not every single one, but many of them, light up. And I realized it was something not inherent in that wafer itself that had deeply touched their hearts. I remember sitting back in the pew, feeling almost lightheaded, and turning over in my mind what I had just seen. It was at that moment that I realized that it was not that the rituals of that church were meaningless, but rather, I get a little choked up talking about this, but rather that they had become meaningless for me. They felt something very deep and profound in their core. Now, it may seem obvious to you after all these years, but it really shook me. It made my heart clench. I felt excluded from what I had witnessed. And over time, turning this event over in my head again and again, I realized that they were feeling the spiritual expression of their God, a God with whom I no longer felt contact. And even later in my life, I realized that that morning was the start of a personal quest for me. I began to search for rituals which did have meaning for me. And at first I assumed that it was a question of just going to the right church. It wasn't until many, many years later that I found this church. I opened myself up to the many different ways that different groups in this church, the different worship services in this church, express ritual. I had no idea that creating your own ritual was even a possibility until I came here. I will always be so deeply grateful to this church for teaching me that. Now let's go back a moment and say, what was I missing in the church of my childhood? Well, I'd like you to start by considering this concept. Ritual is a way to make non-observable reality manifest. I'm going to say that again. Ritual is a way to make non-observable reality manifest. Ritual touches something in our core, something significant and deep within us, which has, I think, existed at least as far back as the painted caves, and very likely before that. Ritual touches our emotions, but it also appeals to our minds. It speaks to the part of us which is so often beyond words. In fact, we're going to perform something rather ritualistic together today after the sermon. Words can give us a clearness of direction. Words are a way of expressly stating our sacred intent, if you will. But I think that the nonverbal part of ritual is key. The nonverbal portions of each ritual give us an opportunity to digest our words and allow them to sift down and touch us on an emotional level. So here's an opportunity to transmute words into emotions. Later in the service, we're going to smudge this sanctuary. So I'm going to take a moment to talk about smudging. This is a sacred act which revolves around some similar concepts worldwide. It's an ancient rite. We really, again, have no idea how far it goes back in any of the cultures which use it. Smudging has an element of purification and of defining sacred space via scent. The two are intertwined because, in essence, it sweeps away whatever is mundane in order to make room for the sacred. Distracting thoughts, impurities, and distractions from the outside the circle of the holy space. Smudging pushes these things out in order to create a void in which the sacred can fill and express itself. It recognizes that in order for something new to be born, something old must give way. The smoke fills the room and then fades. Now something new is created. Within that context, smudging has a symbolic connection to planting, to rededicating, to preparing the way. What will we plant once the weeds have been plowed under? What are the furrows waiting for? These are decisions which are planted in our hearts and will later bloom into words and actions. I believe we're accustomed, as you use, to thinking of sacred space, which more or less just happens. But in fact, the sacred consists of what we bring into the space, what we do while we are here, and how we take that and apply it to our lives, both within the ritual context and beyond. A ritual can be seen as a temporary construct, but in truth, no ritual is successful if it does not, in some way, impact our lives on an ongoing basis. The ancients understood this. They understood that the core aspect of ritual construction is our intention and what we do with it. Ritual takes the reality we envision, but cannot yet see, except with the eyes of our heart, and ignites the process through which it becomes our reality in time yet to come. So it's important to know what our intentions are. Ritual is a way to connect our emotions with our thoughts. This happens, in the case of smudging, through our sense of smell. The only way that we have to begin the process of connecting with the unseen, the inexpressible, is by using one or more of our five senses. The scientists tell us that the sense of smell is tied to memory. As such, it has the ability to create a strong memory, a pathway, if you will, in our brains. The repeated use of a given smell over and over in a particular context will naturally take us more and more quickly in our minds back to that context. And let's remember that context was designed intentionally, and so is supported by that smell. As such, it is absolutely ideal for religious ritual. Nor is the sense of smell the only sense that ritual can use to powerful effect. Our sense of hearing can be used both actively and passively. Passively, we have had music sung to us or played for us by a variety of amazingly talented people over the course of time in this sanctuary. It lifts our spirits. It opens our hearts. I sometimes refer to ritual as storytelling, as it is within ritual that we tell the story of who we are, And like a story, our ritual has a beginning, middle, and an end. In our worship services, we begin the process of creating a sacred space by the introductory music, which alerts us that we are entering the space where we create the sacred together. This space is infused with sacred sounds, unlike our day-to-day lives. And just as a storyteller might set the stage by saying, "Once upon a time," our opening music says that we are stepping into a place where our ordinary reality will take a back seat to a magical sort of reality, where we are both the best of who we are and at the same time seekers who hope to learn more about the connections we so long to feel, the connections to each other, to the sacred within each of ourselves, and to each other. In the most effective rituals, we meld heart and mind together to guide us on the next step of our journey. We feel connected to the sacred when we listen. Musically, our intention can be touched actively when we sing together. The hymns we sing together are an expression of our roots as a Christian denomination in many ways. Singing is universal, and our hymns are associated with Christianity. We join in oral communication via the sense of sound. When we stand together and sing a hymn from our hymnal. Now, I know we've worked very hard to be more egalitarian, non-sexist, more religiously pluralist, and so on in the creations of our UU hymnals. But this in no way changes these facts. Hymns come from a Christian tradition. But singing is a way still to affirm our unity over our differences. And our emotions are connected to our senses. We feel that bonding as we sing. That bonding is intentional and deliberate. Ask a Buddhist, though, sometime about the importance of breath. And he or she will tell you that the universe was created via the breath. A Buddhist might say that breath was the beginning of all things and the crux of awakening. You might want to turn that over in your mind after the sermon. Oh, and breathe deeply when you do. Now, I did mention that the ritual context was designed and supported by our senses to make our sacred intentions manifest. So what is our sacred intent? Our church mission statement reflects, as it does, our invocation of the chalice and the flame. This is not a church of sinners trembling before an angry God. This is a church of seekers. This is our sanctuary. We designed and paid for it together. We collectively decided, or at least delegated, the decision of who will stand where I'm standing each Sunday. Standing before a podium emphasizes something different about me and my purpose here, now, this morning. Something different, for example, from a ritual where I might be seen sitting at the edge of a circle. And we have had active, and I'll say brisk and intense discussions about any of our changes about our Sunday morning rituals, which take place largely here. Our emotions are very much involved, whether we like to admit them or not. But there's no question that we are. And that is because ritual is key to our intentions as a congregation and as a faith. There may be words involved in the UU approach to ritual. Actually, with UUs, there are always words involved. Lots and lots and lots of words. Let us never forget that a vital part of our lives is happening between the words. This weekly worship service is our ritual. We may draw from Christian traditions. We may also draw from other faith traditions. For example, today we will be drawing from traditions which use smudging darn near globally across the face of this planet. We have a multitude of influences which do go in our hymnal. And I could go on and on picking apart our Sunday morning ritual piece by piece to show you the where and the why of each aspect of our order of service. How it is done, why it is done, the reason why it's done in the order that it's done. But I would prefer to get you started wondering, as I did many years ago, what does all this mean for me? And what about this smudging? I urge you to push your envelope a little and stay here for it, unless your allergies prevent that. Does it feel a little too out there for you? Or is it something that somehow satisfies you through those brief few minutes that you experience it? Strange and yet comforting in its own way. Also, I would ask you to consider, why do you feel what you feel? What is your heart saying to you during this experience? And let me return to the concept that smudging clears the way. Now we have a new minister coming. But have we thought about what we are willing to give up in order to make space for what we hope to put in the place of what went before? What are the comfortable old ways that we have done things in this church, which may need to be set aside for the new? What are the outdated visions of how we see this congregation, which now need to be plowed under into those furrows so they can fertilize and support the new growth? I encourage you to consider those questions in depth over the coming weeks. Change is uncomfortable. Change is the only truth which is inevitable in this life. Resisting it is difficult. But embracing change will transform you. Here is our opportunity to transform ourselves. So what is that What, again, does that statement mean? Ritual is a way to make non-observable reality manifest. When our emotions are touched in ritual, something takes fire inside us. It ignites the best of who we are and what we want to be. And if that emotion is strong enough, irresistible, if you will, then it takes us to a new place when we step outside this worship service. It forces us to act, to bring change to our world. It takes us from emotion to action. It makes it manifest. And through that manifestation, it takes us one step closer to being the powerful, the beautiful, the enlightened person that we wish to be. And it also changes everyone who comes in contact with us in that fire, in that light. Feel the new wind which is blowing through this congregation. Be ready to plant the seeds of your choice within yourself. Embrace the wind and be transformed.
To continue the theme of change and transformation, I share with you some words from Unitarian and from Universalist leaders from our history. For an expression of hope, we look to Clara Barton. "I have an almost complete disregard of precedent and a faith in the possibility of something better. It irritates me to be told how things have always been done. I defy the tyranny of precedent. I go for anything new that might improve the past." For an expression of our determination in days to come, we look to Henry David Thoreau. "All endeavor calls for the ability to tramp the last mile, shape the last plan, endure the last hour's toil. The fight to the death finish is the one characteristic we must possess if we are to face the future as finishers." For inspiration, we look to Ralph Waldo Emerson. "Be not the slave of your own past. Plunge into the sublime seas, dive deep and swim far, so you shall come back with self-respect, with new power, and an advanced experience that shall explain and overlook the old." And now, let us speak aloud a responsive reading which affirms our desire to build our future together. The responsive reading is printed in the center of your order of service. The people on this side will read the plain text. The people on this side will read the bold text. And we will read the final line together. "The Spirit of those leaders who have walked this path before us calls to us. We recognize their work and its legacy. They have joined people together in common purpose, or have written in solitude and contemplation. They have labored to bring justice and compassion to the world, and we are their heirs. Each of us is human. Each of us has stumbled and fallen. And yet we have risen and are gathered today with hope in our hearts, with joy in our vision. I seek to be nourished. I seek to nourish others. Ready for new beginnings, I wish to be transformed. I wish to transform others. Ready to help create a better world. I want to do justice. I want to join with others to do justice. And so we set out on this journey together to participate in building a community of souls, bringing our diverse perspectives together to manifest the light within us and around us, in this congregation and in our lives. So may it be.
This is a presentation of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, visit our website at www.austinuu.org.